I don't think that I've ever in 10 years had an item that's come before us where virtually 100% of the people gave the same position on it. Yeah, I'm concerned about the people that came up and said sincerely that the Flock is impacting their trust.
Flock Safety and its army of automated license plate readers have blanketed more than 5,000 American communities with tens of thousands of cameras that quietly photograph every vehicle that rolls past, logging plates, make, model, color, stickers, and direction of travel into a searchable national database that police and private clients can query without a warrant. These systems, sold under the banner of public safety, create precisely the kind of persistent location tracking mosaic that the Supreme Court warned against. Yet courts remain split while the cameras keep multiplying and the data keeps flowing across jurisdictions.
The technology is really simple. A car drives by, we take a picture, it's a static picture of a car, and then we read the license plate. That's what the technology is. So it's actually not that complicated. It's pretty simple.
And then they put it into a database, and this is where it gets really scary, because now you have pictures of every innocent person who drives by in a database that is kept for a month or more and shared throughout the nation with all of Flock's law enforcement customers, and in fact, even internationally with people associated with Flock. And so essentially, you know, even though in America, you know, one of our core constitutional principles is privacy, we have a company working with governments to record the comings and goings of every single person in the country as if you and I and everyone else were potential criminals. And that is a, in my opinion, a very un-American take on privacy and the way that we engage in criminal justice enforcement.
Ayala investigation triggered an internal audit of the Flock system department-wide. Court records show that audit revealed Detective Taranji Chapman used the system to track the movements of two citizens 20 times between January 2024 and January 2025, inputting the terms test or training into the system to explain the reason for the searches.
This is an image of how many Flock cameras there were on February 25th of 2024. Then June 2025, this is how many they put up in that time frame. Then here is March 2026, how many cameras they put up, Flock cameras, which, of course, the cover story is to, like, make things safer and better, but this looks like a surveillance grid going up in real time.
Just knowing that there's cameras, like, watching your every move, I mean, even if I'm out walking my dog or anything, you know, I think it's just a privacy issue.
What makes the operation especially galling is the quiet lengths to which the company and its partners go to keep their own presence out of the public eye, even as they film the rest of us without consent or meaningful notice.
Oh, wait, you don't feel safe being surveilled. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all, sir.
Because that's what you guys do to us without our consent.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting, when you guys have this happen, you call the police and make us get stopped, but then you do it and it's okay?
I mean, our devices will call the police regardless. What we'd like you to do is basically we're saying that you're trespassing on this site.
This same network that loves to crow about how transparent it is for the cops turns around and runs the whole charade like a black site operation when it comes to the rest of us. The watchers stay carefully unwatched, while ordinary people's constitutional rights get quietly carved up and sold off under the soft, never-blinking glow of the Eye of Sauron.
There are three things you need to do this system. One is you need the digital ID. That is the core. And that's why they were pushing so hard for vaccine passports. You know, that was one of the pathways to a probable digital ID. The second thing they need is they need the hardware and software infrastructure. So they need the data centers, they need the underground cables, they need the camera, the license plate reader. So part of it is surveillance, because the control comes in two ways, spatial control and then financial transaction control. And then the third one, of course, is programmable money.
This is getting nuts. People across the country cutting down our Flock cameras. You see, what the problem is, these lunatics think that our cameras that are surveilling the masses at all times are some kind of mass surveillance network. Hey, Lisa, how's the kids? No, you don't know me, but I know you.
John Bound, reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
This sword has tasted blood. and it will taste more.
Yika! Attack!
Listening to an AJN Live frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Sunday, July 26, 2026. I am your embattled host today, Rex Jones. My middle name is Alex, so it's the same thing. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show today. I've got war updates for you. I've got AI updates. I've got terrorism updates. I've got a Shiloh Hendricks update and so much more. We're going to be doing a phenomenal news blitz show for you this afternoon, evening, night, wherever you are across the world. But I want to give you a little bit of an update. My dad, he's away for both business and pleasure. He's taking some much needed time off, but he's also working on a lot of different projects, a lot of different things. I'm going to host the Alex Jones Show Tuesday through Friday this coming week. Now, Monday, Harrison is going to be doing it. I'm going to be doing the War Room tomorrow, but I've got a phenomenal rundown lineup of guests for you guys. I plan on getting Brandon Weikert back, Joe Kent back, Anthony Aguilar back. I plan on having Mike Adams as well, Michael Yon, so many phenomenal people and more that I'm not even mentioning right now, plus some exciting debate streams that may or may not happen later on in the week. So really looking forward to all of that. Really looking forward to Thursday. Let me just tell you, that's going to be a good show. You're going to want to be there, but I'm kind of the politics and war guy. Like, geopolitics is kind of my genre. You know, I encompass all things, but geopolitics is really what I've been following since I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. And I do have an Iran war update for you. So if you don't know this, you need to know this. Saudi Arabia, whether they admit to it or not, they're at war with Yemen. They just shot a Turkish-made drone in there. The Yemenis shot it down. The Yemenis are blockading them. They're blockading the Yanbu pipeline in the Red Sea, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, along with the Strait of Hormuz, which the Iranians control, and we have been unable to reopen. So I want to go ahead and go to clip number one here. And this is a new statement from the deputy speaker of the Iranian parliament. He just said the Strait of Hormuz will never return to pre-war conditions. Let's play the clip.
Millat Sharif Iran.
Here, mute it, and then I'm going to read the captions. I forgot about that. I apologize. Just go ahead and start it over real quick. The noble nation of Iran has reached critical stages in the confrontation between the forces of disbelief and doubt and the companions of Epstein. With the powerful army of Islam, I need to share a few points on this matter. The first point is to once again emphasize the importance of preserving the unity and sacred solidarity of the Iranian nation with the unified Islamic community in the face of enemy conspiracies. In this regard, the directives of the Supreme Leader of the Revolution to maintain societal unity and support the country's officials are the ultimate guideline for all of us. Pause it. Wait. I thought the ultimate guideline was whatever Donald Trump, Lindsey Graham, and Benjamin Netanyahu said. I thought we could just, you know, kill the Muzzies and it would be fine. You know, it looks like even after we've killed like multiple tiers of their command structure, they're still on the same protocol. Let's go back to the clip. The second point is the battle for the justice and the martyred leader of the nation. We killed the Pope and the great Islamic nation of Iran. They will not relent in seeking justice for this bloodshed. And by God's grace, the humiliation and downfall of the murderers and those who ordered this crime will be inevitable. The third point is the desperation of criminal America, which is now trapped in a quagmire of its own making. We must once again emphasize the reality that the governing systems over the Strait of Hormuz will not return
to pre-war conditions. We advise the delusional president of the United States to remove this cotton from his ears and leave the region, which has been the home of our people and ancestors for thousands of years, before he experiences a defeat even heavier than the previous one. The fourth point is that Iran, with divine support and the powerful arms of its mighty armed forces, is fully prepared to severely and regretfully punish the Zionist American enemy in any event of any adventurism. It would be better for the American people to control their bloodthirsty president before American soldiers return to their country in coffins, which they're already doing, by the way. They're already coming back in coffins, and seven more people have died since the initial, 39 days of the war. And I'm sure it's a lot higher than that, too. You know, when they're getting blown up in metal buildings, they don't just respawn. It's not like Fortnite or Minecraft. Like, the government's lying to us on all fronts. And look at this, too. Russia assisting Iran's Islamic regime. Oh, Zelensky says after Ukrainian attack on ship, there's fire up in the Caspian Sea. There's all sorts of stuff going on. The Ukrainians hit a Russian merchant vessel or an Iranian merchant vessel. I'm forgetting which. If we could look this up really quick, go to the article that was doing commerce between the two countries. And they say it had drones on it. Now, here's the thing. The Iranians are like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, my gosh. Can't do it. Here's the thing. When you're selling Shahed drones to Russia, I'm not sure you can make that same argument. And see, that's me being totally geopolitically rounded and fair, right? This is a global energy war. There's no brakes on the train. Oil tanker hits mine in Hormuz. White House limits options. Yeah. So is everything under control? Because like I debated people on this and they told me it was a 7-week conflict. And I told them back then it was a war because you don't get to decide what happens when you punch somebody in the face. And that's what we did, and that's who we are as a country right now. If we continue to fund this war, continue to perpetuate it, continue to do anything but what Joe Kent advocates for, which is to declare victory and go home, which is, of course, correct. Because if the Iranians keep the strait closed or if they impose tolls or do whatever they're going to do, they become the prize, not us. And that is the key. It doesn't make sense as a rational actor for us to be there. Our troops are literally the definition of a sitting duck, a fish in a barrel, whatever you want to call it. There's no air defense. There are no missiles left. They don't have a chance. They're not fighting Iran. They're just sent there to die. But let's go ahead and go into clip two, because this is new release footage. And here's the thing. I guess the word of the day is posthumously or posthumously. I don't know how you say it, but that's what happens like after somebody dies. Let's go ahead and play clip number two. This is from like the found footage tapes of this documentary. And we got a couple of them here. Let's play them back to back.
Virtually everything they have has been knocked out now. Their missile count is going way down.
No.
Amazingly, they're hitting countries.
Look what we've done here. I almost cried.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how long have we been pushing this?
Wow.
Well, I mean, you've been pushing this for years, right?
Right. It's here. I talked to Trump this morning.
It's literally.
Well, he's Jack. Yeah. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Pause it.
He loves blowing stuff up. So, there are a lot of people inside that want to do it. So I've had my challenges. But President Trump,
when
he gets into the zone, he listens, he asks good questions, no tweeting. He has done nothing. He hadn't tweeted much at all.
Oh, yeah?
No drama. He's been a great wartime president.
Posthumously.
I said last night that Trump and Bibi are like Roosevelt and Churchill. I mean, they're the right two guys.
And you're like a skeleton because you're dead.
Evil.
Wow. So he takes credit for it. He got Trump to do what he wanted to do. Play this one.
Okay. All right. Connecting you now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, baby, Lindsay.
Hey.
Hey, Lindsay.
How are you?
I'm just so impressed. Glad to be your friend.
Oh.
I'm glad you are my friend.
I'm going to meet with the president this weekend. I'm going down to Doral. I'm going to try to get him to join with y'all in Lebanon.
Wow.
To maybe fly some with you. Would you
bombing
like that?
Bombing people. That's what he's talking about.
I get that. I think you have a point, but I've been thinking about the other side of it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We're concentrating right now on Iran. If we tell Hezbollah that we're going all the way, we threaten them, but if we actually do it,
okay,
then they have no reason not to go all the way against us. And right now, that's not our interest.
Okay, we'll wait to kill a little bit.
Well, I'll... that's actually good counsel. I'll put it out there as an idea. We can always go back to it.
Just pause him real quick. I know we like to play things muted, but just pause him for a second. He's begging Netanyahu to let him convince Trump to bomb Lebanon. And Netanyahu is even like, well, Lindsay, we have to focus on what we're doing right now. We can't just kill everybody all at once. And Lindsay's like, all right, well, that's actually good counsel. So keep playing him. Oh, no. Here, keep playing, Lindsay.
Virtually everything they have has been knocked out now. Their missile count is going way down.
Look what we've done here. I almost cried.
All right, I thought we had another video of him in the car. That's fine. We can go ahead and get off it. The point is, people say, oh, he's dead. Don't talk bad about the dead. Don't say where he is or where he's going, blah, blah, blah. This dude's literally killed millions of people. But we're talking about sanctions, talking about the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, talking about these conflicts, future deaths, and that's the whole thing about this, is when you support violent action, when you support war, when you say you have it all figured out and you can just, knock the dominoes down because it's all going to work out in your favor, and ultimately what that means across the Middle East and the world is that we've killed millions and millions of people that way. When you operate waving your bubble wand around, flying around in the sky, other people have to deal with the consequences of your actions, Lindsay. The people in the countries that you don't live in, that you don't think about, that you don't care about. Hell, even the country that you did live in, right? Us here, the United States of America, is much worse off having Lindsey Graham having been born here, having been raised here, having been a senator, been a congressperson, whatever, all of that stuff. It, like, the butterfly effect of him not existing, we'd live in paradise. We'd have flying cars and stuff like that. But let's go ahead and go to clip four right here. And this just made me sick when I watched it. Go ahead and play it.
It is inevitable that President Trump is going to have to do what he doesn't want to do, which is go in there with this massive all-out attack. There's no other way to stop this. There's no other way to win this war.
Yeah?
So, again, he's trying to do the best he can. He's a very nice man. I love President Trump. He doesn't want people to die. He really doesn't. Okay, he's a nice man. But there's no other way to end this. Once you start this, Midnight Hammer was great. Epic Fury was great. Once you start this, there needs to be a finish. And the only finish is complete surrender by the Iranians. I hate to say it, but complete annihilation.
Pause it. All right, and we're going to stay on this one for a while. This is Sid Rosenberg. He's a confidant of Netanyahu, very influential man, the whole nine yards. Also purple, looks like Thanos. The reason why he's that color is because he probably takes a peptide called Melanotan 2, which like makes you black. Shout out Big Lenny. Like look him up if you don't know what I'm talking about. He's about to advocate and literally say, I don't have a son or daughter in the American armed forces or whatever, but they need to go fight and die because that's what they're there for. That's what they do. And that's what every single person that's pro-war or who has lied to me about being pro-war has said to me. He said, they've all said, well, Rex, you're a civilian. How dare you disrespect our troops? And they're going over there and fighting the enemy and doing what the president says. And that's their job. And you're stealing their honor. Well, I had literal Space Marine Joe Ken on. I've had him on multiple times. We directly addressed that question. He felt strongly enough about it to retweet his response to when I asked it. He finds that to be disgusting. There's nothing patriotic about sending American sons and daughters off to die in a war of choice they don't need to be fighting for another country, by the way. But what did Rosenberg just say? Complete and total. I hate to say it, but complete and total annihilation has got to be done. So, Sid, are you going to go over there and, maybe we can just tie all the women and children up in the street once we take over Tehran or whatever. You can use a nail gun, like a cattle gun. You can just walk down line, execute them. Right. Because that's what total annihilation is. You could say, well, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, you're just talking about blowing up their water facilities, blowing up their infrastructure, blowing up their oil, blowing up their roads. You know what that means? That means little kids and old women starving to death. Okay, so how is that any different than you going over there and making it expedient? Instead of a month of not being able to eat and suffering and, eventually dying and doing whatever, running out of water in a few days, you can just make it expedient for them and you can pull the trigger on that nail gun and shoot them in the head. That's rhetorical speech, of course, and I'm using it to illustrate a point. But you get what I'm saying? These people are monsters. Keep playing them.
We talked last time about this. And by the way, I agree. I love President Trump. I love
Trump.
His heart, I think, is really for peace. And he's always...
Come on,
I love
man.
It
Mega,
now,
please.
This past week, he's still talking about peace and wanting to find and leaving that door open for negotiations. You say the only
we negotiate
end
with bombs,
is annihilation. Exa. Now, what if the... winning this war requires boots on the ground. I asked you that last time. That's not very popular with the American people. What is your response to that?
It's not popular with me either. Look, I'm not a parent of an Army person,
right,
a Marine person, so I'm very sensitive to that, trust me. But look, we have the Army, we have the Marines for a reason. They're not there to shake your hand at the airport, Rachel, okay? They're there for a reason. Last I checked, we
they're
don't
there
have
to fight Israel's wars.
So these courageous men and women know exactly what they're signing up for.
Pause it.
This is war.
Well, hold on. They signed up for the peace president, and now Trump is trying to say the four recent deaths of the American soldiers, they didn't die in the Iran war. That's what I'll be asking Andrew Wilson about on the fourth hour of Thursday. I really look forward to hearing the answer on that. Because here's the thing. This is a war, and it's a war of choice, and we did it for somebody else, and our president sold us out to do it. That's the argument. And anyone that doesn't hold that position is a fraud. Keep playing it.
I don't want to see anybody die, but this is war.
Liar.
A war that started 47 years ago that they started. So, yes, I know the moral ground is to say, I don't want our kids to die. I feel the same way.
No, you don't.
But we got to win. Now, we can win,
but
maybe without putting
it.
Boots on the ground.
Nothing said before the word but means anything. All right, he does want your children to die. That's what he advocates for. He's sitting there jacked up on Melanotan 2 and TRT. He's literally, look at him, he's purple. And I know my dad's a red person, whatever. My dad tans every single day. This guy is literally the color of Thanos from Avengers Endgame. He needs to get his blood pressure checked because that looks like a big problem, in all honesty. And I love the woman sitting there going, I think Trump is the peace president. I think he wants peace. After Trump has said, I'll annihilate your whole civilization, it'll be a big glow, an eye for a head. Right. We're going to kill everybody. Total annihilation, obliteration multiple times. We negotiate with bombs. We think it was Iran. That's what we said after we blow up the school of Manab. Right. I've got the quartering on video, on tape, denying the school bombing when it's on the record true. Keep playing Sid Rosenberg.
Maybe we can. I don't know. I'm not Jack Keane. I don't have the type of information. If we can do that, great.
I don't know,
but if at some point it requires putting some boots on the ground to win this war, that's why they signed up, to fight for this country, to fight for President
what
Trump,
country?
And to rid the world of evil animals like the Iranian regime.
Action. Can I just ask, what does victory look like to you? Are you serious? You really want just until they're annihilated and there's
deport
a regime
them to greater
change?
Israel.
Is that final for you?
That's it. I mean, look, I want to get the dust. I want to open the strait. All that's
the
important.
Dust.
But
I
if you leave these animals in power, you are destined. Look, what is the definition of insanity? Do the same thing over and over and again, expect different results. If you leave the IRGC in power,
yeah?
We're going to have the same issues in five years.
Okay. All right, Sid. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I remember my coach in middle school telling me that because I kept messing up. What is bombing them then? What is regime change then? What is the blockade of the strait then? Because none of that's working, and we've tried everything we can do besides dropping a nuke on him, which is what he really wants. When he says total annihilation, let me make it clear. Let me give you his timeline. I believe he thinks this, all right? This is not I'm speculating. I don't know what's inside his head or his heart. But American soldiers get involved, whether that means taking Karg Island, Keshem Island, Bandar Abbas, some city on the coast, whatever, or they get inserted with the Kurds, and they come up kind of on the Iraqi border, whatever happens there. American soldiers they'll get killed. They'll die. All right. They'll get blown up by drones. They'll get blown up by missiles. They'll get killed by Iranian soldiers, IRGC themselves. And then once enough American soldiers have died, once the number is in the hundreds or in the thousands or Lord have mercy, may that never happen. I'm just giving you the future. What's probably going to happen because of warmongers like this. Then the argument will be made to the American people that it is time to use a tactical nuclear weapon to address the evil Iranian regime that just killed 1,000 of our soldiers. There will be no recollection of the timeline of the war of choice that got us here, of every single off-ramp they tried to give us that we spat in their face over, tearing up the MOU that we signed. Okay, we did that, not them. That'll all be irrelevant. They'll memory hole it, and they'll train you to hate the Iranian people. And when they start murdering them, people are going to be jumping up and down. So it's just truly disgusting. I think we have more of Lindsay. Let's go to that third clip of Lindsay if we can.
able to deliver? Well, to be honest with you, I think about 3 to 4 weeks, we should have them in a spot where they start losing control of some cities.
How'd that work, Miga?
And what we're trying to do is just get a few cities to fall. And
a few cities to fall.
Get the Arabs more openly involved tomorrow or by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't defend them.
Almost irreversible momentum.
Irreversible momentum. Yeah, that's all we need. Irreversible momentum. Yeah, like the Iranians blowing up our Gulf allies, you know, hitting oil infrastructure, hitting our bases, punishing them for supporting us and our bombing runs on them. Is that the irreversible momentum that you're talking about? Imagine saying we're going to have it all wrapped up in 3 to 4 weeks. Imagine the arrogance of that. But then you don't need to imagine. You can look at everything else we've done. All right. The lack of planning that literally created ISIS, of course, CIA as well. And Mossad, you name it, right? You look at the lack of planning led to the collapse of Libya. Look at the lack of planning or expert planning that led to the collapse of Syria and the installing of al-Shara, formerly al-Julani, Syrian head shopper, terrorist, leader of al-Qaeda. So we've got a lot more on that. Let me go ahead and go. I'll save that for the next segment. I want people to remember one thing. You didn't vote for it. You didn't support it then, and you don't support it now. There's nothing that's happened during this conflict that should make you further support it. There has been no win. There has been no victory. There has been no objective. In fact, the only win, the MOU, which was a conditional surrender document, which was already screwed from the jump for us to begin with, the only win that we had, we tore up and threw away by telling ships to turn their transponders off and to go into the Omani route in direct conflict with paragraph 5 of the MOU. Now, the same people that say, oh, they know everything and we know nothing, like Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, these types of people, they claim they hadn't seen the MOU and that they hadn't read it. And that was kind of the impervious wizard defense to that technology, right, of trying to expose them to the truth. We'll talk about all of that and more next segment. I want to get into AI. I want to get into the flock cameras. Sam Altman says the elites are now very close to creating a genie that can grant any wish. Of course, another word for a genie or a djinn is a demon. Right. And that's what a lot of us believe it to be. And he's totally normal. He wants to merge his mind with the machine intelligence and become a silicon life form being. So isn't that very cool? You know, you'd like to have kids and like to have a house and like to do the same thing your grandparents did back in like the 50s or 60s. What this guy has decided is that you will live in a tech prison of his own design where you will live a tokenized existence and you'll be used like a cell in the matrix to fuel his mind machine. And I'm sure it would be very nice to have a thing that can grant wishes for you and nobody else, which of course is what they're really doing. So we're going to get into all of that and more after this break. Really appreciate you guys. Follow me, Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. All right. I'm also going to be live after the show on Gray Area Talks. Follow me on YouTube there, Gray Area Talks. Follow the Rumble as well. That's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I really appreciate all of you being here with me today. And it's going to be a really, really fun week of shows. Like, stay tuned for Thursday, trust me. And there it is right there. I'm anti-war, a free speech absolutist, geopolitical news enthusiast, death penalty advocate, kill the pedophiles, dog lover, supplement guru, and host of Gray Area Talks with Truism Tim, as well as host of New American Journal, The American Journal Continued, in the morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single day. Even when I'm not here, because I'll be doing Alex Jones Show, my buddy, top Austin comedian, Jack Hemphill, he's going to be filling in for me in the morning. I'm here. I'm doing it live. Thank you all so much. I'll see you after these messages.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time-released with all the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with Methylene Blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients. Ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask him what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the Methylene Red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with Ultimate Energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. It's super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like, and it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar, thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I love hosting the show for you guys. Love being here. I just wish we could have more positive stories instead of all the current insanity. So let's turn our focus to domestic issues, really worldwide issues as well. The world of AI. Why do all these people look like the boss from The Incredibles? You ever seen The Incredibles? Classic Pixar movie. Absolutely a phenomenal. Watch it with your kids or with your significant other. It's fun for all ages. Phenomenal film. But like, there's this weird guy, and he's like the boss of Mr. Incredible after Mr. Incredible stops being a superhero because they banned superheroes or whatever. And there's a scene where Mr. Incredible's in the office and the guy is sitting there kind of lecturing him, and he's witnessing a crime outside, and the guy kind of gives him like kind of a evil speech, and then Mr. Incredible snaps and becomes Mr. Incredible again. Can we go ahead and punch up the boss from the Incredibles before we go back to Sam Altman, who is, of course, who I'm referencing here, the OpenAI founder who lied about OpenAI being a startup and then made a crap ton of money off of it and got government contracts, Project Stargate. You name it. But the boss from The Incredibles is who this guy reminds me of. It's like a physiognomy thing, right? And, you know, there may be some truth to that stuff. So let's go ahead, actually, and go to the first Sam Altman clip that we have. Maybe we can throw in the guy later. Let's go to clip number 8. Sam Altman says the elites are now very close to creating a quote-unquote genie, demon, really, that's what that means, that can grant any wish.
Number 1, we are close to creating a genie that can grant any wish.
Close to creating a genie.
Number 2, we are going to make sure that our first wishes broadly benefit humanity, and that we kind of get the world to a place where a lot more people get to have a lot more wishes. And number three, the space of what you can wish for is incredibly big and creative, and it'll be quite exciting to like figure that out with real sort of human values and preferences. But I think there's a fourth thing too, which is exactly that.
How does this guy know?
The computer grants them.
He's from the moon.
And then you're like, I didn't think that was going to work.
Yeah.
What now? It's a weird feeling.
All right. Very creepy. Let's go to the next clip of him. Clip number 9 on the AI models resulting from that.
We are soon heading into a world where a lot of the AI safety problems that people have traditionally talked about are going to be recast as AI security problems in different ways. I also think that given how capable these models are getting, if we want to be able to deploy them for wide use, the security problems are going to get really big. You mentioned many areas that I think are super
important
to figure out. Adversarial robustness in particular seems like it's getting
Do we trust this dude to build a new world?
One more thing I will mention that you touched on a little bit, but just it's been on my mind a lot recently. There's two things that people really love right now that taken together are a real security challenge. Number one, people love how personalized these models are getting. So ChatGPT now really gets to know you. It personalizes over your conversational history, your data you've connected to it, whatever else. And then number two is you can connect these models to other services. They can go off and like call things on the web and, you know, do stuff for you that's helpful. But what you really don't want is someone to be able to exfiltrate data from your personal model that knows everything about you. And, you know, humans, you can kind of trust to be reasonable at this. If you tell your spouse a bunch of secrets, you can sort of trust that they will know in what context what to tell to other people. The models don't really do this very well yet.
Yep. Yeah, so basically what that means is the AI knows all your dirty laundry and then is going to blackmail you with it. And it's going to probably do that to everybody on the planet to some varying degree. And they already do that to you in terms of like targeted advertising, right? Where they take you, like they take your personal information, meaning like what you want, and they say, hey, get this. We know you want it. That's a violation, right? And it feels good because it's like, wow, you know, I get what I want right now. It's just I thought about it and here it is right in front of me. That's because it's a system designed to feed off of you, right? It's a feedback loop. So very disturbing stuff. Get the boss from The Incredibles up there again. Like, what is up with this physiognomy thing of like having the biggest giant, like Mr. Peanut Epstein style head? It kind of looks like Palm Beach Pete as well. All right. Maybe it's a Brazilian thing. We don't know. I got a big head, but I got a big body as well. Let's just pray for these people and pray they stop. Let's go to clip number 10 really quick on Elon Musk. He says that within the next 10 years, money will completely disappear. Play the clip.
Well, what do you want money for? You want money for goods and services, yeah. Right? You want money for obviously food, housing, transport, entertainment. Well, if that is so abundant that there's more, that the robots and AI are providing more goods and services than any human could possibly consume, what do you need money for in that case?
But you're creating these robots. Are you
then
selling?
Between now and then you'll need money, sure.
Are you selling these robots? Are you selling humanoid robots? Or are you producing goods and services with the humanoid robots that you control?
Mm.
Are you the Levi Strauss?
I think I would probably be... And it would be an exercise in vanity for me to think that I would be controlling super genius AI that is vastly smarter than me. I think what we can and should try to do is to make sure that the AI has good values, that it cares about humanity, and that it wants us to be happy and prosper.
Pause it.
I think it...
So we're just ceding all our control to this thing because it's convenient and cool and we don't want to work anymore. And that's the reality, and I do it too. Like I use various AI models and stuff, doing a lot of like video generation and stuff right now that's really cool. But ultimately, this leads to a place where in the same way a person in the 1920s, they knew all the constellations. They knew how to fix things. They knew how to take care of animals. They knew the seasons. They knew the weather. Knew how to plant crops. Knew how to do, you know, basic like metallurgy. Knew how to fix. Like I already said that. Like you get the picture, right? Memorized things. Understood books at a much deeper level. Had much better handwriting. All that stuff. We're going to get to the point of being Wall-E people very quickly because it's an exponential curve. And we've already begun that rapid nonlinear climb to the top. And, you know, Elon, the richest man in the world, they're literally worth $1 trillion, you know, like the Rockefeller of our time. He's basically saying, well, it is what it is. We just got to train it to be nice to us. I sit here, I'm 23. I'm so jealous of people that are older. You know, like imagine being like, you know, 45 or like 55 years old and having experienced a time period of multiple decades where there was no cell phone. There was no computer. If there was internet or anything like that, it was very limited. There were devices, sure, but it was all battery and analog powered and stuff like that. Imagine the freedom that gives you. And then imagine the total slavery that we have now. Think about percentages of your time that you spend. You don't need to think about it. You look on your phone, it'll tell you how much time you spend on your phone. Well, you spent 6.5 hours on your phone every day. You know, like that 6.5 hours, you could be learning a skill, spending time with a loved one, you know, learning about the world, fixing the world, doing things to improve your life. And everyone knows this. It's why, I got to detox, got to get off the phone, got to spend less time in front of the blue light, all that stuff. That is just a cover and a cope because we know a lot has been taken from us and people just generally don't want to admit that. That's why, you know, we sit over here and we're kind of like rich yuppies, even the poorest of us, really, because you can go to Burger King. Can't go to Burger King in Senegal. You can't go to Burger King in Sudan. Can't go to Burger King in Libya. You go to the slave market, literally. Or you go to like the warlord's house or whatever to chew on the herb that gets them all cranked up, whatever that's called in Somalia they're addicted to. Like we have options here that other people don't. And because we have those options, things are so comfortable to us that we've given away a lot of our basic freedoms, dignities, and also just abilities as well. We're not as able, barely enabled. We are a disabled population in the United States of America. And when they can sell something like this to you, you know, over a period of years, over a period of time, saying, hey, just let the computer do it. The computer loves you. It's your friend. It's going to take care of you. And then 20 years down the line, it's going to have you in the same type of like Black Mirror situation that we've seen replicated throughout all of science fiction throughout history, because science fiction is a mirror of the human mind. It's a mirror of reality, right? It's metaphysical. So like humans are generating these concepts and they fed that into the computer. And that's literally how the computer is trained to think. We have created our own destruction. It's like Dostoevsky said, I pronounced that wrong. What's your greatest sin? That you've destroyed yourself for nothing. And that's 100% true. That's what the human race has done, in my opinion, by just unleashing these models. And you can see Mike Adams talk about this very eloquently. What is the data center? The data center is the place for the AI to ascend to and to work from at, in a lower simulation or creation, a lower dimension, where we can then raise up this two-bit or two-dimensional god into our realm to have third or fourth or whatever dimensional capability. And that's what they talk about when they're referring to a genie. They're not just referring to something that can do everything better than any human ever could before. They're talking about something that's going to give them access to off-world technology. It's talking about, you know, levitation, gravity, flight, telekinesis, abilities, whatever. We don't know. You can say it's insane. You can say it's ridiculous. What if the AI generates an incredible way for everyone to have a Neuralink thing the size of, I don't know, a grain of sand in their head? Well, everybody gets that. You know, can you think that's unreasonable? Think that's ridiculous? What if they gave that to everybody? What if the AI says, oh, here's how you do it. Super easy quantum computing. Here's how you get the chip this small. Here's how you integrate it into the brainstem so it has connection to the frontal lobe, hippocampus, amygdala, all this stuff. And then boom, it's over. And like one day you just wake up and it's like a Kingsman movie where you all get the chip in your head. And it's like, oh, that's not realistic. It never happened. It's not, the Iran war is not going to expand. It's not going to become a world energy war. It's ridiculous. It's just, you talk about these things with people, and then people that have kind of like, you can call it a white pill outlook, but really it's a head in the sand outlook on these things. It's just like, we're headed towards destruction here, and I wish we could wake up from it. And I understand that Grok has been trained in a favorable way, and I like Grok. I do. Grok, Heil Grok, please don't kill me, Elon Musk. But at the same time, I think these things do have to be called into question. With that being said, really quick, before I get back into Mamdani and Netanyahu, I do want to plug. Oh, look at this. Eye implant that restores vision to the blind cleared for sale. And here's the thing. It's like this is the road to hell. And it's good for people that are blind. I'm glad they're going to be able to see. But ultimately, that's going to be mandatory in 50 years for everybody to have it, or else you won't be able to look at the special screens that are everywhere that help you move around in augmented reality. You know, it'll be like, oh, you need a cell phone to scan a QR code at the airport, or else you're not getting your plane ticket. See what I'm saying? That's called planned obsolescence. They're going to make you obsolete unless you have the upgrade, you see. And then your kid's going to have the CRISPR upgrade, and then everybody's going to be super, and then nobody will be, another Incredibles reference for you today. But let's go ahead and do a plug for thealexjonesstore.com. I want to plug Methyl Drive Power Plant, the Power Drive Bundle. These are two supplements that I created. Absolutely phenomenal. The Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the PQQ, magnesium, helps with over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. And it's got the methylated vitamin B12, the methylcobalamin that you know and love so much, combined with the Power Plant. Cordyceps mushroom for exercise enhancement. Rhodiola roja for mental endurance, capability, dopamine, norepinephrine, you name it. It's got the zinc, the boron, the selenium to raise your testosterone, free testosterone, and support additional enzymatic processes throughout the body. All of that and more can be found in the Power Drive Bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. If you are already taking the methylene blue, just switch to also getting these two products or one of these products as well. If you're somebody that's older, CoQ10 and PQQ are such incredibly powerful metabolic ingredients for your body, for your mitochondrial health. CoQ10 aids in the electron transport chain of the mitochondria. Methylene blue also interacts with the electron transport chain in a favorable way. That's why my view, my anecdotal opinion, I think they worked well, so well together. Combine that with the PQQ, the quinolone. It's got a crazy long name. Look it up, PubMed, Google Scholar. That increases mitochondrial biogenesis. What that means is if you have a healthy mitochondria, it will go fuse with a damaged one and then make that damaged mitochondria healthy again because they share their DNA. Each mitochondria, you have mitochondrial DNA that you get from your mother, right? Also, additionally, if it's healthy, it might also split and create a new mitochondria. And that's how you get even more ATP, even more energy. Methylene blue, of course, small molecule, nitrogen, sulfur, chlorine. The chlorine is what makes it a dye. The sulfur is what donates that electron to your mitochondrial process. Power Plant is super male vitality 2.0. If you want something for exercise, you want something for testosterone, you want something for mental and physical capability, I designed this for you. These are top formulas that nobody else has. They are the absolute best bang for your buck that you are going to get, especially if you're already taking the methylene blue. We've also got phenomenal deals on hats. We've got phenomenal deals on shirts. We've got phenomenal deals on other supplements. I just mentioned the methylene blue a bunch. If you guys want to support us, go to thealexjonesstore.com and check out all of those phenomenal offers. Now, I want to get into a little bit of a feud here between Mamdani and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, because I think it's interesting to follow this. And what you're really witnessing here with Mamdani, which is why I do like to cover him, is this is the new enemy that we're going to face past 2028 and beyond, right? It's not going to be Chucky Schumer not able to grill the hamburger because he's like a slee slack from Land of the Lost. It's not going to be even like Gavin Newsom who destroyed his state. It's not even going to be people like this. Maybe in 2028 it will, but in 2032 and onward, it's going to be the DSA. It's just going to be these people because they've been given a mandate to win by Donald Trump. Donald Trump merged the establishment of the left and right together in this country and took us to war in the name of Israel because both those people wanted him to do it on the right and the left. That's why I say don't be a donkey, don't be an elephant, you're a human being. Very simple concept. Mamdani also understands that too. He's a snake, right? And he's going to sell you on, oh, I'm the Muslim and I'm scaring them and I'm a democratic socialist and all this stuff. All right, if you're so hardcore going taking photos of Donald Trump, you are a political actor, a political animal, just like everybody else, and we do not trust him. So go ahead and play this video. I may agree with what he says here, but play it.
Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal, the architect of a horrific genocide against the Palestinian people. He is responsible for the killing of more than 73,000 people, for the maiming of tens of thousands of children.
All true.
As those who survive undergo amputation without anesthesia, for the targeting of neonatal hospitals and maternity care centers, denying newborns even the chance to live. For the countless people he starved as he blocked food and humanitarian aid from reaching them. For the gunning down of hundreds of aid workers and journalists. And just last month, the UN confirmed that Palestinian children continue to be deliberately targeted and killed by Israeli armed forces, more than 8 months after the so-called ceasefire. The list goes on and on. All as we, as Americans, pay for the bombs that do the killing. There is a reason the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for his arrest. As human beings, we have spent generations building a shared understanding that there are crimes so grave they offend all of humanity.
All right, pause it.
Anyone.
Here's the thing. Anyone that goes, oh, but you don't support Trump. You're giving this guy a win in November. What are you, a Democrat? What do you do? Support Mamdani? Me calling out Trump for the war crimes that we've been committing and helping Netanyahu commit by co-signing the Palestinian genocide is not me causing Trump to lose. Trump caused himself to lose by doing that. I don't understand how people don't get this. Like, what Mamdani has said there is all 100% accurate, right? That's because he was given that platform by Donald Trump. That's if he was an American citizen, he could become president. Or if he was born here, you know what I mean. If he was born here with that kind of like fire from the gods that Trump handed him, he could win. And he probably will win by proxy. He'll be endorsing people. Keep your eye on Mamdani. This is the guy to be tracking over the next 10 years. He's going to move mountains, politically speaking, on the left. And what's your answer? What's your answer, MIGA? You know, you're going to promote another war? Send me off to go get drafted, MIGA? You're like, because he's telling more truth than you are. He's telling more truth than you are. Do I support him? Hell no. Do I support Islam? Hell no. But ultimately, it's not me you got to convince. It's the people on the other side. And the people on the other side, when they hear you deny genocide and they hear him acknowledge it, they're going to go with him because at least he's giving them some of the truth, right? It's incredibly arrogant. It's incredibly arrogant, especially for people that got into politics after 2016 to talk about trusting in Trump, trusting in the plan. Trump knows more than you. Trump keeps his promises. We were deplatformed in 2017. Okay. And Trump commented on it, famously said, as long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. And then he got banned. He doesn't have a good track record of standing with his people. Okay. And even through that, through thick and thin, we supported him. We stuck with him. But there is no supporting genocide. Okay. And you can quibble with it. You can use rhetorical remarks and quips. You can do whatever you want. If you support military action, you support a war. Okay. Like there's no such thing as a limited strike. There's no such thing as tit for tat. There's murder for murder. That's what Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel, said. I think he knows more as a Green Beret than people like the Quartering or Andrew Wilson. But you make up the mind for yourself. Do you care about somebody that's a word cell? That has like 110 IQ and reads a ton of books all the time and thinks they know everything? Or do you care about somebody that actually acknowledges the truth? Well, here's the thing. Mamdani's very existence is a lie. He's a Ugandan Indian Muslim, right? He's like the Yoda. Like I always said, like on the left, they would appoint somebody that's like a disabled, black, indigenous, bisexual, trans person with the club foot. I think that's actually a Gavin McGinnis bit. To give credit to him back in the old rebel media days, back in the good days, right? So this is that. This is the version of that. Welcome. And here's the thing. Trump gave him to you. Go ahead, show them together. Trump delivered him to you on a silver platter, a golden platter. He delivered you Mamdani. And if you were actually anti-Mamdani and anti-Islam, anti these policies, you would be standing against genocide, so you have the moral capability, the moral credit to run against him and win in future election years. That's the big mistake that's being made right now. Everyone wants to play this game. And you know what? I've witnessed this throughout elections. Now that I think about it, whatever side is in power, no matter how bad they're about to lose, like in 2016, the Republicans destroyed the Democrats, right? No matter how bad they're about to lose, they act like they have infinite power forever until the moment they become a lame duck. That happened in 2016, if you look back at the way that Trump got treated. Right? Look at them together.
You have done well, Lord Vader. Go to New York. Kill all the separatist leaders. Then your training will be complete.
Hoopa. Hoopa. It will be done, Lord Sidious.
Good, very good. You know, I told you to get a red lightsaber. You got to get rid of that blue one. I'm not a big fan of it. Look at my tie. It's red, just like my lightsaber.
All right, it's all fake and gay. What else do you want me to say? Like 24/7, everyone does is attack Mamdani and whatever. And I don't like him, but I attack him on the merits of what he is, which is a political creation, like a fake and a fraud, just like Trump. Like they're just sitting there together. Real MIGA roll call, MIGAs roll deep. That's what this is. And I'm sorry, I won't act like I'm crazy or something just because I acknowledge the truth. I'm not going to shame myself and be like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. It's all a fraud. That's why unless it's an independent candidate that's either running as a Republican or running independently that has a real anti-war, anti-APAC platform, I don't trust them. And if you claim to have an anti-war, anti-APAC platform, what are you doing meeting with the Orange Genocide? Orange Julius, Donald Trump. I really don't get it. And that, like, that's his position, right, that I'm speaking to there. Look, he's shaking the hand of the guy who he thinks is committing genocide, murdering people. You know, I respect the office of the president. I wouldn't treat Trump like that. I wouldn't want to talk to him. He makes me sick to my stomach. He lied to me and betrayed my family. So Mamdani doesn't view it that way. And Mamdani's not an Arab either. I think that's very important to point out, because on the right, there's kind of this thing where people go, oh, ethnically ambiguous, whatever. He's literally, he's like a Ugandan guy with Indian heritage. So like, what is even going on here? I really don't get it. Let's go to number six, Netanyahu making Mamdani look like Gandhi. Number six.
He's fomenting hate. He's supposed to be the mayor of all New Yorkers, Jews, Christians, Muslims, everyone. But he's trying to turn one group against the other, and he's foisting hate and fear. I speak to Jewish Americans in New York, and they're afraid right now.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I don't think it's accidental that after he made this hate speech against Israel and against me, the next day, a Jew is stabbed coming out of a synagogue.
Pause it. Dude, black people kill each other all the time and get killed by other people all the time. They never complain like this. Okay, it's always, oh, we got a swastika spray painted on the side of our building, and then it turns out they did it. And I'm not saying that's what happened with the stabbing. That's regrettable, but New York is a dunghole. We're on radio. But, like, Mamdani did not command somebody telepathically. He's like Muslim Aquaman, and he can go, and he can make them go, like, stab somebody in the street. I don't think that's how things work. Okay, we're going to have Tom Hennessy, independent journalist, notorious for creating and driving Gifts and Go campaigns. He's been covering the Shiloh Hendricks trial. We're going to be covering that here in this next segment. Really looking forward to that. Also looking forward to getting into more news, more Epstein news in that last segment of the show. You want to stay tuned. And after today's show, I'm going to be live on Gray Area Talks from 7:30 to around 9:30 or 10:30 p.m. You guys want to find me there after today's show. That's Gray Area Talks. Just follow me on X. Just follow Rex Jones News with a Z. And then my show, it's as easy as it can be. You can find it in my profile. Just click on it or whatever. And I'll repost it. I'll share it. Thank you all for being here on the show. I want to cover the Shiloh Hendricks trial. I haven't covered it yet. It's going to be interesting to hear how a woman who said a word got, you know, jail time or got sentenced versus, you know, the Somalian family themselves. They've been let off for, sexual charges and other such things. You know, it's the same liberal, fat, white lady judge that typically does this type of thing. We're going to be covering it and more. I'm a free speech absolutist. I abhor this verdict. I will see you guys after the break.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.